Hello, remember us?
We're back.
A dinosaur's tail.
That nobody saw, apparently.
You know, if you think about it, there's been so many sequels to The Land Before Time that they should really be in present day by now. Right?
That'd be pretty sweet. How many are there now?
Oh, Land Before Time Four? Movies? 3,000, I think.
Give or take a few.
Well, anyway, we're back. This is the BenHeck.com podcast. You thought we were dead. Sorry, no such luck.
We gave you a reprieve for a little while.
I'm Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
And today, we're going to talk about things. What are our topics, Jones?
We're going to go back to our staples, apparently.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about, crap we've been playing. I guess crap is games in this case, so maybe even say what our picks for Game of the Year are or something. Who knows? And then, of course, movies. We have to bitch about that. And Nintendo, because we always have to bitch about that. So, with
right.
good reason.
I think the rest of the internet, I watched way too much YouTube. I think the rest of the internet has caught up with us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, everyone's like, Nintendo, and then they hold their heads in shame.
It only took, what, 7 years?
So once again, we were right at the wrong time, yeah. Quote Star Trek. So, it's been a while since we've done a podcast. Obviously, a lot of new video games have come out in the last 1.5 years.
That is true. So many that I probably can't remember all of them.
So let's see. I have a PlayStation 4 and a PC, and what consoles do you have?
I have PlayStation 4, PC, and then I do have an Xbox One that I bought like 6 months or so ago.
Oh, you know what? We should segue. Why do people hate the Xbox One? It's getting butt raped in sales. I mean, it's not like Wii U bad, but PlayStation is just rocketed ahead of it. I wonder why.
Well, I think they're still trying to recover from their shitty launch. Because it's like, they launched it, they were trying to force the Kinect 2 on everybody, which put it at a higher price point, all that crap. And then they still had kind of, I think, the lingering effects of their bad E3 presentation when they came out with, the always connected thing that people, flipped out about for really no reason. And, so they had to kind of backpedal from that. But I think a lot of that kind of tarnished things. And then trying to force the Kinect down people's throats again was a bad move.
The Kinect was what the company wanted, not what the consumers wanted.
Yep. Yeah. Which, and it forced a higher price point, which was bad because they were like $500, I think, right?
Yeah. They had a slightly less powerful console for more money. Economics fail 101.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a great system. I've really been impressed with it so far.
Do you play it more than your PS4?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that just because you're a Tomb Raider fan?
I don't know. I just like the whole interface, just the whole experience of using the Xbox One. I just prefer, the PS4's user interface is, I don't know.
Oh, I tried to run a Blu-ray on it, and it took me 10 minutes to figure out how to run a Blu-ray on it. No joke. It's like, are you serious? It was actually so bad that I turned on my PS3, because I'm like, I know how to run a Blu-ray on this.
Wow. And the thing, too, each system has its pros and cons, I suppose, but one thing with these new consoles and the new generation is both Sony and Microsoft are pushing this, probably Microsoft a little more heavier about people buying their games digitally and downloading them and all that. And so a limitation of the PS4 is you can only boot the games that are on the internal drive that comes with the system. You can store stuff on an external drive, but you have to move them to the internal drive to actually be able to launch them and play them.
Are you talking about a thumb drive or a USB 3.0
an external
drive?
USB drive, yeah. Whereas the Xbox One, you can have external drive, hook it up, and launch the games off of it. And actually, in most cases, the games boot quicker off the external drive because it's higher speed drive than what's internal on the system.
Oh, so you can get a USB 3.0 7200 RPM drive?
Yep. Okay. So I picked up one of those, and And yeah, it definitely makes a noticeable difference. Like games like Witcher 3, like if you die in that game, it would take like about a minute to like reload after you died off the internal drive. Off the external one, it's like about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, both consoles have 5,400 RPM spinner discs in them.
Yep, yep.
I wonder if they'll have a, I mean, solid-state drive prices are falling to the floor. I mean, you think that'll be coming as an upgrade eventually?
You'd have to think so. That's where everything's going. Well, like, yeah, like, SSD is going to get cheap enough that that'll become the big thing because, like, the next big thing's, like, flash storage and things like that, so.
Of course, as a console manufacturer, like, wow, the cheaper SSD gets, the even cheaper this drive, this spinner drive gets. It's just basically garbage at a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, as far as games, like, the only, God, like, pretty much since I got
my... Tomb Raider, right? The exclusive.
Yeah, the new Tomb Raider is really, really awesome. Like, I liked the previous reboot, or whatever you want to call it. Like, this is a case where a reboot was a good
thing. Tomb Raider, the Tomb Raider.
Yeah. And that one was really good, and this one was, like, a really just strong evolution of that game. Like, they didn't try to do any revolutionary changes, they just... took what they did well before and expanded upon it. It's just really great game, and it's interesting seeing like Tomb Raider and Uncharted, and it seems like right now it's kind of in the same place where like Forza and Gran Turismo were at one point, because like Gran Turismo 3 had come out, and then whatever it was, Polyphony Digital, it took like forever to make Gran Turismo 4, and after Gran Turismo 3. Turn 10 comes along and makes like three awesome Forza games, and this is essentially what's happening now with the Tomb Raider games. They've come along and essentially surpassed the Uncharted games.
Yeah, that's true. They've made two Tomb Raider games in the time it's taken to get Uncharted 4.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what Uncharted 4 brings in. I think March is when that's supposed to come out.
Yeah, I was fairly underwhelmed by Uncharted 3. I mean, yeah, part two is a freaking masterpiece.
Oh, God. Yeah, that game was awesome. I still haven't even finished 3. That was, like, how... I got quite a ways, but I was just not engaged by it, which was disappointing. And it's like...
I mean, I don't... They just really couldn't make it better. I know that sounds ridiculous, but...
Yeah, because Uncharted 2 was a pretty high point to try to surpass.
I'll probably get Uncharted 4, because, like, what is it, March?
Yeah, something I think like that's when it comes out. So there's probably not going to be anything else out around that time.
I mean, I'll probably be done with Fallout by then, but... You say Chris on Facebook said he had 240 hours on that game?
Holy shit.
Okay,
already?
I literally don't know how that's possible, because...
Didn't that come out like a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Because I think I had about 100 on Skyrim... And 100 on Fallout 3, but that was with all of the DLC, because I bought all of the DLC.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, here, PlayStation glitches. When I sleep the PlayStation 4, sometimes it counts that as game time.
Oh, really?
So it says that I've played it for 12 or 13 days, and like that's impossible, right?
Oh, yeah, I bet, like, the way to get around that is, like, before you go to sleep mode, like...
Exit the application?
Hit the button and, yeah, like, quit the app.
Because I usually just push the option button, which puts it into, like, the in-game pause menu.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Apparently that's not enough, though. So I really have no idea how long I've played that game.
Huh. Yeah, because Tomb Raider, even Tomb Raider, like, because it's got a bunch of the stuff, you know, where you can go around and explore tombs. Like, there's a bunch of stuff you don't have to do to beat the main game, but it's fun to go and do. And
you don't have to raid tombs to beat Tomb Raider?
You don't, but you get, like, loot. So, but yeah, I think even in that, I'm over 20 hours of gameplay, which is fairly impressive for a game like that.
Does the Xbox have a suspend feature? Okay. That's pretty... I mean... I would rather use that handy feature than know exactly how many hours I've spent.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because, like, it was probably a month or so ago, but I noticed I'd get some glitchy behavior in certain applications, and I just kind of put up with it for a while. And then at a certain point, I'm like, you know, can I actually just, like, reboot my damn Xbox One? And so I went into the settings, and I found it, and sure enough, after I did that, it resolved the
little
quirky stuff.
Just like a real
computer. Yeah.
Yeah, I had... SQL error on my stupid server, and I'm like, I'll just try rebooting it. I fixed it. Always works.
But yeah, so that was pretty good. I actually played Destiny a lot when the Taken King expansion came out. I played that pretty extensively for about a month, and it's a lot of fun until you get to the end game, because it's like...
And then it just becomes a grind?
Yeah, it's basically just a gear grind. It's like weapons have light levels associated, and the light level is essentially like how powerful the weapon is, or whatever, for lack of a better way of describing it. And so essentially you just keep grinding out, trying to get these engrams to drop, which you go and turn in, and then you hope you get a good roll on it to get like a better weapon or better piece of gear than you've gotten. I did that for like a few days.
So it's really fun until it isn't.
Yeah, because yeah, the game is a blast up until you get to that point. And the thing that sucks too is like...
Who are you playing it with?
One of my coworkers. Like, he kept kind of nagging at me about it, and then I saw it coming out with Taken King, and I'm like, well, okay, $60 and you get like everything, including the expansion, you know.
Doesn't Chris have it too on PlayStation? Oh wait,
yeah, I think he does actually. And but yeah, it's a good game, but it's one of those things where if you don't have, you know, like in an MMO, you have a guild or whatever, and you play end game content, and it's the same with this. It's like if you don't have a guild of people to play with all the time, yeah, like the end game is, you can't touch it, basically.
Oh, I thought of a term the other day. PC Master Gaming Racist.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I don't even need to explain that, do I?
No, you don't.
Because I was talking to Parker, and Parker was just giving me untold shit.
Over playing Fallout on PS4. 4
on the PlayStation 4. And I'm like, dude, I have a giant TV and a nice couch. Why wouldn't I want to do that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's mods and blah, 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 texture. It's like, God, it's good enough.
Yeah, it's like, who gives a shit?
I think what's... So I have a nice PC, and I have like a nice 980 card, you know?
Yeah.
I like to, you know, there's certain games, yeah, I would never buy on console, like a shooter or...
Yeah.
I guess I would never buy Battlefront on any console, apparently.
Damn,
however,
you...
I'll still play console games or console games I like. So I think you can go beyond PC gaming master race.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just people who like to play on computers and think it's really awesome, because, you know,
yeah,
you and I both would agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, I think when you start hating consoles,
yeah,
for no reason... You go one step further.
It's basically how PCs can get their toe into the console war, essentially. You know, like, that's how they get in there.
Oh, we should talk about the Steam Box.
Oh, God. Is that even a thing? Like,
oh, yeah. Look, I have a Steam controller right here.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. Here. The future.
It's like the one console that has sold less than the Wii U, I suppose.
So my... well, apparently, when it first came out, like, it sold out immediately, like all the boxes and the controllers. My question is, who is it for? I mean...
Yeah, because PC people want to play on a damn PC.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about PC gaming master race people, they don't want anything to do with Linux, fixed hardware, controllers. The three things PC people don't want.
Yeah.
Again, it's like what the company wants, not necessarily what the consumers want.
This controller is kind of weird. These lower triggers.
Yeah.
Because you have to, like, kind of do a squeeze with a bit more of your hand to be able to...
But it's using fingers that weren't used before.
That is true. I get the concept.
Yeah, I tried it with a Portal on this computer here. I mean, it works. I don't know. Again, I don't know. I would just rather have a console, I guess. Did you see that Steam Link box that they have? It's like a $50 streamer box.
No.
It's, you hook it up to your TV, because, you know, the big thing now is to hook up a streamer box to your TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it can stream anything off your computer onto your TV. However, it pretty much has to be Ethernet with Wi-Fi. I guess it's a little chunky.
Yeah, I could see that.
But still, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, the only way this would be useful at all, like... is like, you know, you buy a game like Tomb Raider on the PC, which you could buy the last one on PC, and like, to me, that's what we call a couch game.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, well, okay, I can just buy all my games through Steam, and then I can choose which ones I want to play on the couch versus on the PC.
If a game is designed to work with a controller, I have no problem playing it with a controller.
Yeah. But it's just, yeah, I don't see how they're going to really expand their market with this. You know?
Well, the cheapest Steam Box is more than either console.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 450, 500.
I don't see the market for it.
Though. I like Steam. I just, I don't know. I just don't care, I guess. So, yes. I mean, are you a PC gaming master race person? Do you feel that sometimes your hatred of consoles pushes you past the point into being a PC master gaming racist? I guess it's really a console racist,
I guess.
Console cyst.
Yeah, something. I don't know. and something else I played probably since we did, is I actually started playing World of Warcraft at one point. So.
Oh, my God. So, did you get tired of the Old Republic?
Yeah, I kind of did for a while, so I jumped into that and got to see what that's all about. And
do people still play that all these years?
Yeah, maybe? There's a lot of people that still play. And It's pretty cool. Like, I can see the hook of it. I didn't go crazy with it like a lot of people do, but it's kind of amazing to jump into a game like that. Like, I jumped into it right around when the 10th anniversary was going on about this time last year. And so, you just think about that. Jump into a game that's got, like, 10 years worth of content available to you out the gate. It's almost, like, overwhelming, really, because you come in and the game's almost designed for people that have been playing it for a long time. So if you're, like, completely new to it, you're a little lost.
Do you feel like you get noob-poned or you're just way behind people who've been playing since 2004?
Yeah, but, I mean, you can essentially just go and play it your own way. And because that's the thing with MMOs, you can essentially play single-player for a lot of them if you want. And then there's, like, content you can go and run with other people if you want or if you want to do PvP and stuff like that. But yeah, like, most people are pretty cool in it, and, like, my coworker, who was the one who got me to play Destiny, he's been playing it since it launched, and so, like, he was able to, you know, give me some advice and all that.
He was like your Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Pretty much, yeah, because there'd be times where I'd be like, I've got this quest, how the hell do I even get to where I need to go to? Because it's just not conducive to it. Like, it seems like there's kind of an expectation in that game that you just kind of know where to go to get to the different zones. And I saw they had an update earlier this year where they seem to have tried to address that because they added, like, it's kind of like notifications that you'll get. It's called, like, adventure mode or something like that. So if you click it, it'll essentially tell you, like, hey, here's kind of, like, the next thing for you to do. So it'll hold your hand a little bit, which is nice. But, it's pretty cool. It's got a lot of variety to it and tons of zones. Like, it's just crazy, you know. Like, think about if you played something like that was like Fallout and it encompassed, like, essentially all of the Fallout games that have come out to this point, and it was all in, like, the same game, and probably even more than that content wise so
yeah, that I can see like why people got dive like into.
Hooked on it, you know. It's pretty cool.
So what about Battlefront? I know you love Star Wars.
Yeah, I bought it. There was some sale on it somewhere online, so I bought it, but I really haven't played it yet. I did a few of the tutorial things, and got to try to get lined up with Parker one of these days to actually jump in.
It seems like it's been getting kind of mixed reactions. I mean, I guess every DICE game does when it's released.
Yeah.
But it's, like, not the stability of it that's at fault, but it's, like, just the content seems... Like, Max, the camera guy, he said that he got it, and he was like, well, there's $60 I'll never get back.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard things, like, I haven't read a lot about it, but it seems like the general consensus is, like, if you're into Star Wars, you'll probably like it. If you're not really a huge Star Wars fan and you just like playing shooters, you're probably going to be disappointed. Because it seems like, you know, like, you play, like, Battlefield or Call of Duty or whatever, and they've got, like, shitloads of different guns and all sorts of like customizations you can do, and it seems like that's somewhat limited in Battlefront from what I've gathered.
Okay.
Which to me, that stuff was never terribly interesting anyway. Like, I was just like,
Battlefield's like, you find a gun you like, you use it forever.
Yeah, you know. So
I got Bad Company 2. We actually got Parker to play Bad Company 2 the other night.
Oh yeah.
We had three-fourths of Squad Awesome back together. And of course we killed everyone.
Break out the Carls.
They need to make Bad Company 3.
That's what they need to do. Screw that Hardline shit. They should have made Bad Company 3.
Or the Star Wars, which I'm sure cost them an astronomical amount of money.
I have a feeling they've probably sold a fair number, though.
I don't think it's been, like, super stellar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was watching some videos that said they maybe 1 to 2 million the first week.
Okay.
Which, you know, for what it is, isn't really that great.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to, like, Fallout, which is probably, like, 5 or 6 million almost immediately. And then Call of Duty, of course, gets lower every year, but still, it gets lower, but it still outsells everything.
It's kind of like how World of Warcraft, like, they lose a million subscribers or whatever, and it's like, well, they still have, like, 8 million subscribers.
It's like that line in Citizen Kane. You're right, I lost $1 million this year, and I expect to lose $1 million next year. At this rate, I'll have to close this place in 60 years. That'd be a good segue into Nintendo, even though that's not the order of our topics here.
It's fine, whatever. Free-flowing.
And then all I've been playing is Fallout 4, because Fallout never changes.
I picked that up for Xbox. I think I've only got 5 or 6 hours into it.
Do you find it difficult? You dialogue? I found
a little
that
challenging at times, yeah, which isn't necessarily bad, but it seems like it kind of has the thing that, like, now that I've played MMOs, sometimes happen in those where you just, like, kind of wander into an area.
You wander into the wrong place.
You shouldn't be. But it's kind of along the lines of where your quest is taking you. And so it just seems like it's kind of, like, bad design. But, yeah, and the thing, too, is, like, when I started playing Fallout, I got kind of consumed with the settlement thing. Like, I thought, oh, this is going to be cool. And then I ran into some stuff that seemed kind of glitchy with that. I just got frustrated. And I haven't gone back.
There are tons of settlements in that game. It's like, as soon as you touch one, it's like, oh, well, you're responsible for this now.
Yeah.
I think I found like 12 or something like that.
Oh, really?
There's this really badass island. I don't know if you remember on the map, but there's an island on the eastmost side of the map. If you swim to it, it's a gold mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's awesome. Huh. You have to fight there's even a crashed tugboat with a nuclear generator running for power, so all you have to do is kill a Queen Mirelurk, and then you have the island all to yourself.
Wow.
There's like a crashed cargo ship with all these containers filled with like safes and crates, and it's basically and there's trees all over the island that you can rip down, just like Easter Island.
It's like a loot cave in a MMO or something.
Pretty much. So I built like this sky rise in it, so that's where I put all my good stuff.
Nice.
There's no settlers there because it's just my island.
Yeah.
Yep. It's my private island.
Huh.
I've enjoyed Fallout 4. I think the user interface is terrible.
Yeah.
It is not. It hasn't been upgraded at all since Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 3. And it's like you're trying to experience a game in 2015 through the interface of a 1960s computer. And I should be the first person to enjoy that, but no. It's the same reason why I don't like Linux.
Yeah.
I typed on computers all through the 80s. I've typed a magazine. I typed programs in from magazines into RAM and then save them to tape. I've done my time.
Yeah.
I want to just click on things and get what I want.
Dues have been paid.
Really, I think that Linux is popular. It's like young people who like Linux, they kind of crave that, whereas someone my age, I already had that.
Yeah, it's like we're fine with not having to be in the gory details.
Right. Well, anyway, so going through the Pip-Boy is really bad. I mean, if you like when you went from Elder Scrolls Oblivion to Skyrim, and the interface in Skyrim was great. It was very intuitive. So it feels like Fallout 4 is going backwards.
Okay.
And, you know, it's trying to be, you know, literal. You're always in the Pip-Boy, and it sucks. It's like Skyrim, you didn't have to pull out a book of scrolls and then find a scroll in it with a spell. It's just like, click on spell.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So,
and of course it's glitchy, but you know, it's an acceptable amount of glitches for what it is, really.
Yeah, I mean, a game of that scale, you have to expect some of that, so.
And Parker was complaining, and I think he's right, like the story, like the choices, basically there's no consequences to anything in it.
Okay.
There's no karma system. So, for instance, there's a reporter in Diamond City who hates the synth robots. She's like a synth conspiracy theorist, right? And then you can join the Institute. You can become the king of the synths. And then she'll be like, I can't believe you became the king of the synths. You're trying to destroy the world. Like, her character's almost crying. And then you're like, okay, well, let's travel together.
It's like she's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, but no joke. I was playing it last night, and I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't visited this character since I became king of the Synths. I wonder how she'll react. And she goes in, she's like, it's really nice having you as my best friend in the wasteland, right? And then it triggers her responding to what I did in the story.
Okay.
Which is like, I can't believe you killed all those people. And it made no sense. It's like, there should be a consequence. Like, she should, like, quote-unquote, break up with you.
Yeah.
You know, you should be like, oh, shit. My decisions have caused my interactions with this character to be irrevocably changed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have that.
Huh. That sucks.
Yeah, yeah, it does. That's kind of a disappointment.
Wasn't that something that they were touting quite a bit with it?
The story? The decisions have little or no effect on the story. Because, or like even there's a character who is a synth and he doesn't like the synths. And he's like, I can't believe you did that. Well, let's go travel together.
It's like, well, shit.
It feels completely disconnected.
I'll hitch my wagon to you anyway.
I mean, I know complaining about that is like complaining about a small mole on like Charlize Theron's back. But, you know, it doesn't feel right.
Well, it takes you out of the moment. I don't think a small mole would take me out of the moment. But it's one of those things where it's kind of like... it does. It takes you out of the moment because you're kind of like in the story, and then that basically pulls you out of it when that happens.
It breaks the story.
Because you're just like, that's illogical.
It breaks the immersion of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a valid complaint, I would say.
So what I'll probably do is I'll probably just continue playing with my character and just try to find everything there is, and then I'll probably play through it again, you know, with a different storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the robot Liberty Prime shows up again for some reason.
Oh, he does?
He does. He doesn't do much, but he definitely is there.
Because that was one of my things with it, is I'm like, is this game going to manage to have something as cool as Liberty Prime in it? Probably not.
Actually,
but that it actually has Liberty Prime in it.
Well, you know what? A lot of people have said there's something missing in Fallout 4, and what I think is missing is weirdness.
Yeah.
There isn't much.
Okay.
I mean, the weirdest thing I think I've found is like a 400-year-old man with an alien artifact stuck to his head. But you don't have people worshiping a tree that's actually a mutated person or a cave full of kids, and it's not as weird.
Well, and like Fallout 3, wasn't it like a hotel or something
like that? Oh, with the ghouls and the rich people?
Yeah, the ghoul people were there, and it was just like, yeah, it was like there were all these like kind of cool, just bizarre sub-stories all over the place in Fallout 3.
Yeah, wasn't there people who thought they were vampires living in the subways or something?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
You know, it's strange. I found one subway entrance, but I really haven't explored. I don't know if there's a big subway presence in this game. I mean, you think there would be, because there was a ton of subways in Fallout 3.
Well, isn't it set around Boston?
Yeah.
Like, does Boston have subways? I guess I don't even know.
You know, I don't know. They probably do.
I think the thing too with like Fallout 3, like for me anyway, was like one of the things going into Fallout 4 that I was kind of like about was the setting, you know, like Washington DC and Fallout 3, you know, you've got like all this iconic setting, you know, you've got the Capitol and Lincoln Memorial, you know, like all these very recognizable locations and things that you are kind of like, yeah, I want to explore that. You know,
well, Boston was important in the founding of our country. However, it's no longer relevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, Washington, D.C., it's still all there.
That's true.
The White House is there, and, you know, all that stuff has been there forever.
Because that was kind of the stuff that was cool. You know, the deeper you got into the game, you started, like, hitting that stuff, and you're like, ooh, this is cool. Can I actually go in there? Oh, I can, you know, and you can, like, check this stuff out because it's, you know, things that you actually know what those buildings are.
Yeah. Well, when I was playing it, I'm like, I wonder if Arlington National Cemetery is in here, because that's a big thing, and it's there. I mean, it's incredibly scaled back from reality, but it's there. Geographically, Fallout 4 is really cool because there's a lot, it's in a, you know, it's like a bay. So there's a lot more water. There's like rivers. There's a lot more lakes. That breaks up the geometry in a more interesting way than it was in Fallout 3.
Okay.
But yes, so the locations themselves aren't as interesting. I mean, they have Bunker Hill. I mean, there's not that many things that the average person would have heard of in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit about where the Red Sox play or whoever. See, I don't even know who... Is that the baseball team there?
They have Fenway Park. I suppose it would make sense.
Yes.
They'd have Fenway Park.
Yes. I mean, that's Diamond City.
So that's kind of cool. Do they have... Do they have, like...
You haven't even made it to Diamond City yet?
No, I've played, like, 5 or 6 hours, and probably, like, 2 or 3 of those were, like, dicking around in the settlement, so...
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you follow the story straight, I mean, you get to you go to Diamond City pretty quickly. But...
I think I've got the quest to go there, I just haven't gone there yet, but, like, do they have the Boston Garden, like, the basketball stadium?
I don't think so, I haven't
seen
that.
That'd be interesting if they had... I mean, it's just gonna be a big room, it probably wouldn't be that interesting, but...
Well, there's a lot of... Boston, I haven't really explored, like, especially the east side of Boston in the game is incredibly rough. I mean, just get your ass kicked. I mean, yeah. I'd probably do better now because my character. I went from being a super wuss to now I'm like, it's almost like OP. yeah. So I'll probably go play that tonight.
Yeah, I figure at some point, like, I kind of set it down and, you know, wait a while for some patches to come out for it, and then I'll probably jump into it, like, in the new year. At some point.
Yeah, I actually have a broken quest on my game right now. It's like, go clear the drive-in theater of enemies so that you can start another settlement. But it's like, I've already been there, and I've already killed everything. So if I go there, nothing happens, so it's broken. Okay. But there is something else in the game that I like. If you randomly... Okay, there was a water treatment plant. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go in here for no reason. And there's all this complicated stuff you had to do. You had to, like... repair the pump so the water would go back down to make the pump work, make the plant work again. And I did that, and I'm like, and then at the end, there's like a chest. And there were so many Mirelurks in it. I was like basically down to punching them. I ran out of all my bullets. And then the reward was like 20 bullets. And I'm like, why did I do that? Right?
You're like, God damn it.
Yeah, it felt completely pointless. But then, you know, 20 hours later, I find this garden or some sort of settlement run by robots, and the robot's like, you could help us by repairing the water treatment plant down the road. And then there's an option, I already took care of that.
Okay,
so that's pretty cool. So you don't have to go there and fight everything that's been respawned.
Yeah,
you can be like, cool, I've already done that for you. And then they'll be like, oh, well, here's your reward.
Nice, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's non-linear, but at least they account for it.
Yeah Nice.
Yeah, so it's been fun. I mean, I don't think it's weird enough. The UI sucks, and the facial animations are terrible. But hey, it's Fallout.
Yeah.
It's a lot better looking than the other game. There's actually color in it.
Yeah, actually, I noticed that a bit.
Pretty nice looking.
And that was the one thing I noticed getting back to Battlefront that I did notice about it in my little time, is that it is, like, amazing looking.
Yeah, it looks real from the videos I've seen.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive in that respect. So,
but well, those are the games we have been playing lately. Are there games you think we should play? Comment on this site or Twitter or something.
And yes, Rise of the Tomb Raider would be my game of the year pick if I had to make one. So... it's pretty awesome.
Well, I'm just gonna say Fallout 4, of course.
I figured.
I would say I was, I don't want to say disappointed with Batman, the Arkham Knight, or whatever it was called, but did you play it?
I picked that up on Black Friday because it was like $25
for a great price.
And so, yeah, I've played maybe, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 hours of it so far or whatever. And after I played it a bit, I'm like, okay, I see why Ben complained about how it's basically like Batmobile the game. Because I remember when
every review complained about that. It's pretty egregious, isn't it?
Yeah, because I remember when you said that, and I'm like, how can that be a bad thing? And then I played it, and
it isn't for like the first 10 minutes you do it. It's like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like about every other moment. It's like, oh, hey, go hop in your Batmobile and go and tear some shit up.
You can tell they spent a lot of time on the Batmobile mechanics and code. And then they're like, okay, we had to put this mechanic in the game as much as possible to justify its existence.
My biggest complaint with it is, it's like, if you're going to make it that big of a component of the game, make it so it drives worth a shit. Because, like, me as somebody who is into driving games and all that, it's basically like driving in Grand Theft Auto. It's like similar to that.
It's easier to drive it when it's a tank than when it's a car.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Because it can go really fast as a car, but the map is so dense, you're just smashing anything. It's a map meant for foot travel, and you're driving this car at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, so So yeah, I was just, I'm like running into shit all the time. So yeah, I hold down whatever it is, left trigger or whatever to put it in tank mode, and I pretty much move around like that about 75% of the time.
So spoiler warning, during one of the last missions, the Batmobile gets destroyed.
Good.
I was never, the last time I was so happy to see something destroyed in media was Lori from The Walking Dead. I was like, yes, die! But then Batman's like, I've got another one. No!
I could see you just screaming out in agony.
I was so happy when it got destroyed. I was like, good, we don't have to deal with this damn thing anymore. But then the new one has slightly different paint colors.
Ooh.
That game was all right, but I don't know. I mean,
the other parts of it so far are good. I mean, it's essentially just another one of the Batman games, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Batmobile stuff, it's kind of like overwhelming, like how heavily it's used. So
they put a lot of fetch quests in these games now, like trophies from the Riddler and etc. And I don't know. I mean, I don't buy that many games. Well, I guess I do, but I think they make these games like, oh, a person can buy this and play it for like, 3 months. And
yeah,
I've read that. That's why reviewers tend to like dump on games that are just nothing but fetch quests, is because the reviewers have to burn through games. So they don't see that as added value. They just see it as a time waste.
Yeah.
And I'm not a game reviewer, but I can see the point. I mean, I at least want, I don't care about getting 100%. Oh, look, there's a number on the screen that says 100 because I collected all the Riddle trophies.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it's like if there's something interesting about collecting all those, then sure, it could be fun. But if it's just to collect them to collect them, then whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that was one of my things, like when, because November 10th, like Fallout 4 and Rise of the Tomb Raider both came out that day. And I was just like, I'm getting Rise of the Tomb Raider. Because to me, I was like, I appreciate that Fallout 4 is like this super dense game and you can get all this value out of it. But I'm like, I just want to play a game that I can like finish the story in like 10, 12 hours, like that's what I wanted at that time. And so, and then, if I wanted to go and explore more, I could, which, like I said, I'm around 20, 22 hours in that game now, but if I just wanted to play the story, it probably would have been like 10 to 12, and then I could be like, there, I saw the story through. It didn't like eat a hole in my life to do it.
it's like an extension of how long movies have become.
Yeah.
I'd rather see a good movie that's like an hour and 40 minutes than, ooh, look, this movie's 2.5 hours. I really got my rental price worth. It's like, no, I get my rental price worth out of seeing a movie that is good.
Yes.
The length of it shouldn't matter. That's what she said. So, yeah, those were some games that we've been playing. And I will automatically give Fallout 4 a game of the year because Fallout never changes. All right, so shall we segue onto movies?
Sure. That wasn't much of a segue, but...
you're right, it wasn't.
You were on the right path, though, when you were talking about like how it equated to movies with like the length and value
proposition. Oh, yeah, yeah, because I hate long movies. A long movie is like a long root canal. It's like, oh, I'm paying $800 for this. I might as well get my money's worth.
Oh, God. Yeah, speaking of that, remember when we saw the damn Hobbit at midnight?
Ugh.
That killed midnight showings for me. I haven't gone to one since. And I was just like, I could have been sleeping during this.
That's just getting older. That movie just was not good.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
I watched the part 2 and part 3. I've watched them both at home. And I'm like, you know what? If I can, go to the bathroom whenever I want, go to my refrigerator, push pause, they're tolerable in that environment.
Part 2 is passable mainly because of Evangeline Lilly.
Yes.
Just because she's Evangeline Lilly, but she actually seems like...
Did you see Ant-Man?
I did. I actually watched that this week. And it was,
I did too.
It was pretty solid.
So. Yeah, the end of it was exactly the same as Iron Man. I didn't care for that. It's like, oh, look. A bald guy who took over my company is using my technology against me because I won't sell it to war.
Yeah.
The same ending.
Yeah, I liked all the character stuff in that movie. Like, I thought they did a good
job.
Yeah,
Michael
that.
Douglas was great.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And then he was like young Michael Douglas. That was weird.
That was impressive as hell.
Yeah.
Because it was like, holy shit, that's like 1985 Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I watched that twice, and it's like, wow, this like is perfect.
I'm like, how the hell do they do that?
Magic.
Like, it's like, yeah, that was really impressive.
They're like, okay, Haley Atwell, you are old, and Michael Douglas, you are young. Go! And drunk guy from Madman, you are Stark Man.
Which drunk guy from Madman?
Wow, that may be one of the most redundant things I've ever said.
Yeah, I know that sucked, though. Like, the very first John scene, Slattery. It's like, the very first scene, you're like sitting there like, holy shit, it's like, Roger Sterling and Jack Colton are in the same damn room here, but then, like, Sterling never shows up again.
Yeah, like, except for Iron it. Man 2. So movies are too long. Like, The Martian, I thought, was too long.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it, but yeah, it kind of overstayed.
Like, they had that whole scene where, like, oh, our rocket blows up. Oh, we just use a Chinese rocket. Oh, it worked.
Yeah.
That was, like, 15 minutes for nothing.
Well, it was to get the Chinese market. For
exactly, yeah. You know, so there's this thing in movies. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's 100% true. The China only allows a certain number of non-Chinese movies to be released in China per year. So if you want your movie to be released in China, you have to have – it has to get approved. And so by putting pro-Chinese things into it, it will increase your chances. So if you have a scene where the Chinese help the Americans with a rocket, you'll get approved. If you have a scene that takes place in China, like a lot of movies do, such as
Transformers
4,
that.
Iron Man 3, the doctor that fixes his heart was Chinese.
Well, and that's like in the next Star Wars movie, the Rogue One. Like, I think they cast two Chinese actors in that, which I'm sure that's not to say that they aren't good actors or anything, but there's an ulterior motive with some of these things. And that's
definitely.
Probably why. Yeah. So, which that movie sounds cool.
If you're watching a movie and there's something Chinese put into it for what seems like no reason, that's the reason.
That's the reason. Yeah.
Getting it run in China.
Yeah, because China's becoming like huge for movies.
Well, what it is China right now is like America was 100 years ago in the Industrial Revolution. However, you know, the population itself, you know, most people are still fairly poor, so they don't have 70-inch televisions. Fast internet and all this. So they go to movies. Just like 100 years ago, people in America would line up to see a movie about a train going down a track.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is amazing. That's where China is right now, and it's saving Hollywood's butt. And I don't know, once China industrializes enough where people have TVs, what's going to save Hollywood next?
Yeah.
Because right around the time that DVD and video sales fell off an effing cliff, which was when the recession hit, foreign markets picked up steam. I mean, that's been... Not even the last 10 years, like the last 7 years. That's just been on fire.
Well, yeah, look at the last Terminator movie. It was like a flop here, but then in China, it like did ridiculously well. Like,
I assume you saw that.
I did, and I actually didn't think it was as terrible as it was made out to be.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was passable, I thought.
I mean, its core problem was that the entire plot was written around how to explain an old Terminator.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... I liked it better than Star Trek Into Darkness.
But, like, I Arnold was fun in it. You know, like, basically I went into it and I'm like, I got out of this what I could have hoped to get out of the best possible situation. You know, like, Arnold was entertaining and, you know, I didn't hate myself for watching it. So it wasn't that bad, really.
It wasn't that good either.
No, it was, you know, probably a hair above mediocre, but...
Yeah, it wasn't a pimple on the ass of Terminator 3, which is...
I would say it was better than Terminator Salvation.
I wouldn't. I liked Salvation better.
Maybe I shouldn't say better, maybe I'd say more entertaining.
Salvation was at least... Salvation wasn't that great, but the plot was at least straightforward, whereas the story in Terminator Genesis was garbage. For lack of a better word.
I don't even remember it, really.
Well, okay, explain to me this, is like... We have to get to 2017 to stop the Fucha.
Yeah.
So let's build a time machine to go into the Fucha instead of just waiting.
Yeah.
It's like you already have a time machine. Well, it's called waiting.
But then you'd have to see like Sarah Connor get old and turn into Linda Hamilton. And then...
That would have been cool. It's like she... Why didn't they do that?
They could have, you know?
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, she turns into Linda Hamilton and Jai Korku.
But they couldn't do that because they wanted this to be the first of, like, another trilogy where they would have had Dragon Woman in all of them, which is why they couldn't
Dragon
do it.
Dragon Woman!
So that's why they couldn't do that.
Do you ever think that maybe Dragon Woman's not that good of an actress?
I would agree, yeah. I don't get what the whole hype is around her, really. I mean, I watch Game of Thrones, and she's perfectly competent, you know, but she's not, like, a key selling point of the show for me.
Just because someone plays a strong female character, that doesn't make them a good actress.
Yeah.
Her character, well, you know what, I don't even like her character.
Yeah, like, my favorite characters in that show are, like, probably the ones that are, like, the biggest pricks. Like, Cersei, I like her, I like her brother, Jaime, and then, like, Littlefinger. They're, like, my three favorite characters in the show. And they're all just, you know, backstabbing assholes.
Yeah, well, you know who pisses me off in Game of Thrones? The Starks. They're kind of a bunch of douchebags.
They're fairly lame, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, Robb Stark, I mean, he did betray that guy. He's marry my daughters and you can use my bridge. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Well, look what happened.
Yep.
Spoiler warning.
Surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
So apparently there's a new Star Wars movie coming out. Have you heard this?
No.
Yeah, it's called
Tell Me About This.
Star Wars The Force Wakes Up. From the director of Super 8 comes...
And your favorite Star Trek movie.
No, I said Super 8.
No, but end your favorite Star Trek movie. Directed that, too.
I'm sorry, in my book, the last two movies, well, in everyone's book, the last two movies he made were Super 8 and Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, like when they hired him, I'm like, okay, we're going to get a good Star Wars movie. We're not going to get a great one. Like, he's just a safe choice.
It'll definitely have energy, which, you know, the prequels didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems like everything they're doing is just, like, safe. It's like, here's everything you've seen before. Here's another Death Star.
Yeah, it's just like, come
how does the
on.
Emperor get that? He calls, is like, yes.
calls up the Geonosians.
Yeah. But does, I mean, he must have really good Death Star insurance.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're not going to let you build another one unless the exhaust port is covered up with a mesh of some kind.
He's like, all right, we'll integrate that into the design then.
So, well, now there's clearly no way this Death Star could be destroyed. Yeah, okay, your, you know, 30 trillion billion space dollar Death Star, we're going to require more than one shield generator protecting it this time. That's what happens in the new movie. What about two shield generators? Well, they have to be on two separate planets.
Two separate
think about it. Like, if you were, like, running a database center or a server, like, you'd have to do that.
Yeah, we
how does the Emperor get away with this shit?
Yeah, because he's the Emperor. He's out of touch.
I guess.
Because, yeah, we do that at work. We have multiple data centers and replicate all of our critical systems. So, but, yeah. But, yeah, it's like...
One shield generator.
But, yeah, it's like, okay, so apparently there's a Death Star, and then it's like you got freaking Han, Leia, Chewie.
Apparently Luke will probably barely be in it.
Around or something. Fucking R2-D2's in it again.
Of course he's
in it. I'm sure C-3PO is going to be in it. Like, that was one of the things, like, I am Mr. Prequel Apologist, as Ben has labeled me on many occasions. But it's like, one thing that did piss me off in those movies is how they had to, like, shoehorn 3PO and R2-D2 into them. I mean, R2 had some fun moments, but I know that they were the bridge between new movies, old movies, but it just felt so goddamn forced.
Actually, we haven't seen 3PO at all in any of the trailers.
Oh, he'll probably show up.
Oh, he'll be in it.
Just to be lame.
So, okay, here's what I think is going to happen based off the trailers. So, John Boyega, or the Black Stormtrooper guy.
Yeah.
He works for the Empire, which apparently is still around.
They're called something else. They're like the New Order now, but it's essentially like what the Empire evolved into, I think, after the Emperor died.
Yeah, because you have to have stormtroopers, because you have to have everything that people liked.
So do you think the stormtroopers in this, like, are they really clones anymore?
No, they're probably enlisted.
They're just like...
Yeah, there wouldn't be any clones left. They'd be dead. So it looks like he crashes on a planet. He'll crash on a planet. He'll meet the woman who has the ball-bearing robot. Yeah. And she'll find something. She'll find a MacGuffin, because she's a scavenger, I think.
Yeah, she's in that Star Destroyer that crashed, it looks like. So.
She'll find something that's like, oh, we have to figure out what this is. Maybe it's a lightsaber, because you see that guy has a lightsaber for some reason.
Yeah.
Then they'll hire Han Solo to take them on a mission to find Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And he'll have to get the Millennium Falcon out of Hawk. He won't have it.
Yeah.
That's why I think there's that explosion with them running from it. I bet it's like them trying to get it out of, like, space impound.
Yeah, okay.
And then he'll be like, they'll be flying around, the stories are all real. Which is, I have to admit, it's a very masterful,
it's
cloying
a
thing.
Yeah.
It's Han Solo saying, your childhood is real.
Yeah.
That's what he's, when you make a remake or a reboot, you're saying, fuck your childhood. That's what people don't realize, especially like with Ghostbusters remake. It's not who's in it, it's the fact that you're saying we're replacing the original. That's what pisses people off. Yeah. That's why, but when Han Solo says your childhood is real, that's why it sends shivers down your spine, because it's all about nostalgia.
It's like reinforcing it, yeah.
Anyway, then they'll fly around, meet up with the Resistance. Han and Leia will also be estranged.
Yeah.
So that way they can fight.
And somehow they get, through whatever machinations that happen, that's how they get pushed back together, so.
And everyone will be related to everyone else.
Yeah.
So John Boyega will be Lando Calrissian's nephew. Kylo Ren will be someone's son. God, there's a lot of like deadbeat parents in Star Wars. Like, let's just dump our daughter off on a planet to pick up rocks.
Yeah, the thing that like leapt into my mind last night, and it's probably just completely crackpot, or maybe other people have had the thought, but I was like, wouldn't it be cool if Kylo Ren was like Han and Leia's kid?
Of course there'll be someone's kid, because everyone has to be related to everyone.
I know, but I mean, that would be an interesting turn, because it's kind of like he's like the bad seed child or something, you know, and it would be an interesting tweak on it, and it would help justify in some way why Han and Leia are in the movie, other than just nostalgia, which I know is the real reason why they're in the movie, but...
Do you think... Finn and Rey. Which one's which?
Finn's
Rey is the guy,
the stormtrooper guy.
Okay.
Yep, and then Rey's
the girl. Who will she be related to?
I think like the obvious choice is people think she's Han and Leia's daughter, which maybe she is, but maybe she's related to Luke. But then she would.
So
have
who's
to
Luke's
find
wife?
Luke.
Or so, you know, baby mama.
Well, that's the thing. Since they like shit canned all of the previous extended universe, you know, that all went away because there was like a character called Mara Jade in those books that he got hooked up with.
So the Jedi can fall in love now, apparently?
Yeah, probably. I guess when you're the last Jedi, you can kind of reset the rule book. So.
You have to admit that that part of being a Jedi in the prequels didn't make any goddamn sense.
Well, yeah, it was pretty dumb. It's like you're just setting yourself up for trouble.
Yeah, if being a Jedi, if you set up that being a Jedi is hereditary, then you set up that you can't fall in love and have kids. It's like, don't they see the problem with that?
Was that like a commentary on like priesthood? Not to get into a deep dive,
but priests aren't trying to propagate their race. They're just priests.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like an offshoot of just humanity is like propagating the race. Because like midichlorians, at least the way I gathered it, like they didn't have, like the kid didn't have to be born of force users for that to happen. Kind of like how in Harry Potter world, like, muggles could have magic children.
Oh, okay.
So.
But wasn't Anakin a virgin birth? Did they imply that?
Yeah, to take it back to religion again, you know. It's like, we get the symbolism, George.
So, but... you can be... Oh, so you can have the Force and not... It's not hereditary, necessarily.
I don't think that was how it was set up.
So it's like a disease. Like, you could just have it, or it could be hereditary.
Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting, like, this movie, like, because I was jacked up for, like, every one of the prequels. You know, it was like, I was, like, there at midnight for Attack of the Clones and Sith, like, Phantom Menace. I went and saw it, like, twice on opening day, I think it was, like, three times in the first 2 days. You know, I was all about it. Like, this one, I'm just very ambivalent about it. Like, even sitting here knowing it's, like, you know, 5-6 days away or whatever, I'm still just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's happening next weekend.
It seems like it's sucking all the oxygen out of the box office lately.
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at, like, what's come out, too, and it's like, you know, there hasn't been a lot lately. I mean, Good Dinosaur, or whatever it was called, took it on the chin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, the second Mockingjay, it's still performing pretty well. I mean, you know, to me, that's as much a symptom of splitting a movie into two pieces that didn't need to be split as
anything else. Yeah, and Spectre is performing fine for a Bond movie. I mean, Skyfall was just an anomaly.
Yeah, it's just, if they expected this one to do what Skyfall did, I think they were a little crazy. I'm sure they wanted it to, but I still don't get why Skyfall was as big as it was. I mean, it's a good movie, but it's like...
Well, I mean, like that Forbes article I sent you about the Nintendo, you know, exemplifying the problems from generation to generation. Skyfall had a lot of problems, but it was successful. So they're like, oh, well, none of those problems mattered, so let's just have all those same problems in Spectre,
yeah,
but they just got amplified.
Yep.
Actually, really, I think, even though I enjoyed Skyfall more, I think Spectre was a little more straightforward.
Yeah.
I mean, Skyfall was just nothing but coincidences and happenstance. Well, think about it. Like,
well, yeah, the whole part with Bardem when he's, like, escaping and all that.
Yeah, so did he know exactly when Bond would catch up to him in a tunnel, know when a train was coming by, have a bomb set, smile, get out of the way? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, could he see the future?
Yeah, I know. Like, that whole scene, like, because I watched all those the Craig ones again before Spectre came out, and yeah, like that scene just stuck out like a sore thumb when I watched it this last time.
It's like, oh, you're the computer expert at a top secret government agency. Just poke the villain's computer, who is also a computer expert, into your computer, and nothing will happen.
That pissed me off the first time I saw that, because it's like, I work in IT. It's like, at the company I work at, we would not do that. And it's like, this is like a government agency, national security, all this stuff, and they do it? I'm just like, what the fuck? It just made no sense.
Because the villain wanted to be captured every movie.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm looking forward to like seeing Star Wars. So my prediction with it is...
fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, people will be in a euphoria over it, because it'll be action-packed. It'll move quickly. It'll have all the energy. Just Star Trek 2009 did. I don't think it'll be very good story-wise, but I do think that there probably will be kind of like I don't want to say a backlash, but an unbacklash against the prequels. I mean, these movies, well, at least The Force Awakens, looks very derivative of the older movies. It's just like, here's all the stuff we know you like. Nothing new. And the prequels... they weren't well made, but the story was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else was. It was kind of like...
it was just poorly executed. But
You couldn't really... it was hard to see the story under all the badly executed movie making around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, because that was the thing, like, you know, the trailers, especially like the early trailers for Force Awakens, which, I mean, if I worked at Disney, I would probably do the exact same thing that they're doing, at least to a certain extent.
Oh, the trailer's been great.
You know, because it's like, what did they show you? They showed the Millennium Falcon twirling around. They showed you a crashed Star Destroyer. They showed you X-Wings. You know, they showed you Han and all this shit. It's like, you know, of course people are going to be like you said, people want their childhood back. You know, like, people don't want to accept that they're getting older and stuff. Like, they want to kind of recapture that little...
yeah, you ever notice everything in life revolves around recapturing your childhood?
Yeah.
When you have kids... they are replaying your childhood. When you're a grandparent and you're obsessed with your grandkids, you are replaying your childhood again. It's like every 20 years you reboot – every 20 to 30 years you reboot your childhood.
Yeah. Well, it's like now, you know, like I saw that they're making a second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. You know, so it's like now those are out. Now there's Turtles toys out there again. You know, it's like – and they like made the G.I. Joe movies that weren't, you know, super successful, but it's like – yeah, they
did better than Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah. Well, the first one actually did pretty well, I guess. It was reasonably entertaining. But, yeah. It's like all that stuff.
I think the second one did okay, too. Not super great, but...
yeah, like not a complete disaster. But yeah, it's like they keep trying to kind of hook into that because they know that, like if we had kids, you know, we'd be like, oh, yeah, this was cool, and it's something now you can share with your kids.
Yep.
And get them all hooked again.
But do we run the risk of not having anything new under the sun in 20 years?
Seems that way.
I mean,
because what are they going to be rebooting?
They're rebooting everything from the 80s and into the 90s. But the reason those movies are good, well, not good ideas to reboot, but the reason that they're cherished is not for what they were. It's like Hollywood thinks that we liked those particular movies. Like, oh, you liked RoboCop, so you'll like a reboot of RoboCop. The RoboCop reboot was passable. But it's like that type of movie, like really creative movie ideas, the kind of stuff that would never get greenlit as a major motion picture tentpole today. Yeah. Like Ghostbusters, they would never make that movie as an original idea. I guess they sort of did with Men in Black. So if those movies, in the 80s had all been reboots, you know, instead of Ghostbusters, if we'd had All About Eve or The Ten Commandments 2, The 20 Commandments, and we wouldn't be rebooting those movies. We'd have to come up with something new.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's going to be the nostalgia in 20 years? Nostalgia in 20 years will be nostalgia about nostalgia.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You look at, like, the original properties that come out now, and you can't really envision where they would, like, reboot those in 20 years, you know?
Well, because they're not really sticking with people. And what kind of original movies have even come out?
Well, I mean, even if they are good movies, you know, they're not the sort where... Not that they wouldn't try, but, I mean, you know, like, stuff like Interstellar or Inception, you know, like, successful original-type movies, you know, it's like...
Oh, yeah, I see your point.
Or, like, Gravity, you know, whatever. Like, these movies that...
Well, I don't think those movies don't really stick in the cultural zeitgeist. I can't believe I just said that. I sound like a movie
Yeah,
review.
They're not like a Ghostbusters or something.
Yeah, or a Gremlins.
But, like, to me, it's sad that we've reached this point. Like, to me, like, one of the most promising things of late was Creed. Because it's like... Instead of rebooting Rocky, I mean, essentially, in a way, they kind of rebooted it, but they essentially did it as an evolution.
Yeah, because... I watched Rocky 1 through 3 last weekend, and yeah, Creed is basically a remake.
yeah, but it's like you kept...
Actually, Rocky 1 and 2 are basically the same movie.
Essentially, it's like a sequel to Rocky 4, really, is what it is.
Well, again, and look at, yeah, the one that people liked, even though I think Rocky 4 is one of the worst Rocky movies.
Yeah, but it's not entertaining as hell, though.
It's entertaining, but it's not a good movie. Actually, you're entertained by all the montages?
I don't, some of it.
He's driving around, like, flashbacking to the other movies? That's bullshit.
Well, yeah, but then, like, when he's in Russia training and stuff, you know, and... I mean, it's totally
like
music.
That movie is like an hour
videos.
And 20 minutes, you know? It's like short as hell. There's nothing to it.
Yeah, but it was like Creed. It was just really nice because it's like it somehow it hit like just the right nostalgic beats without going overboard, I thought, you know, and it kept...
I had to admit, when he opens the box with the American shorts in it, I almost cried.
Yeah. You know, it's like there's just like those little nods, you know, that's like...
Yeah.
People could walk into that movie never having seen a Rocky movie and enjoy it, but then people that have seen it, there's like those little nuggets in there for you to like catch on to. And then like when he has the shorts on, and on the one side it says like Johnson or whatever.
Johnson Creed.
And then the other side it's Creed, you know, and you know, that was just, I mean, I didn't think that movie was perfect or anything, but it impressed me because it didn't just do the obvious thing and just be like, well, here, we're just going to make a whole new movie. It's not going to have Sylvester Stallone, and, you know, we're just going to kind of tap into it. But
right, because then you're saying, oh, the Rocky movies don't exist. I mean, obviously, if they're like, they do exist, but you're kind of saying they don't exist because, like, oh, we can do something better.
Yeah.
And if you look at the movies that have been successful, Creed is successful.
Yes.
It's technically in continuity. Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park.
Yeah, the Jurassic World. Yep.
In continuity, successful. Mad Max. In continuity, successful. It's like, shit. Even Terminator Genesis did better than any of these other remakes and reboots they've tried. The only remake, of a major 80s movie that has been successful is Karate Kid. Yeah, nothing else has made a dent. And no one even gives a shit about that movie.
Yeah, it just made money for
some reason. Remember there's a Karate Kid movie with Jackie Chan and Will Smith's son, remember?
Yep, yeah. I never saw it, so.
I mean, I guess my point is I hope, like Gremlins, apparently, of course they want to make a sequel, and it's going to be an in-continuity sequel, like with the main guy. I don't know if Phoebe Cates is going to be in it.
Oh, Zach, what's his name?
But that seems to, I mean, I prefer that to remakes. At least it's... That's what I don't like. Okay, I don't know how you feel about that. Like Alien 2.5 from Neil Blomkamp. Screw that.
I just don't give a shit.
It's like, just, it's fan fiction wank.
Well, and like, who the fuck wants another Alien movie? I mean, honestly. Fox? Who? Yeah, other than Fox and Ridley Scott.
I actually like the fact that Prometheus 2 kind of cock-blocked Alien 2.5.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter if you didn't like Alien 3. Alien 3 is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know, even like the first three quarters of Alien 4 is decent. Mm-hmm. But those movies were made. It's like you can't just say, oh, something like Creed. Again, yeah, Creed ignores Rocky 5, although I think Rocky 5 is an underrated movie. Mm-hmm. But it ignores it, but it doesn't say it didn't happen.
Yeah, basically with the Alien thing, they were essentially trying to do like a Superman Returns, because that's what they did with that. They basically disavowed 3 and 4, pretended they never happened,
yeah.
And just said, we're going to go right after 2.
Yeah, but they weren't trying to cast like a 68-year-old woman in it as an action hero.
And yeah.
You know how much I love Sigourney Weaver, but I love Sigourney Weaver, I love Aliens, but fuck that movie.
Yeah,
I honestly hope they don't make it.
I think the thing, like...
it's fan fiction. Oh, look, Newt's 30 years old now, and she has a machine gun.
Yeah, it's like, God, this shit? And she'll probably be played by Dragon Woman.
It's like a 12-year-old scribbling on a Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Played by Dragon Woman.
But the one thing I would...
come at night. Well, of course, it won't be played by... what's her face? What's her real name? Carrie Henn? Yeah, of course it won't be the actual actress who played Newt.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be too old. She'd be like my age, so. Too old!
Well, I think the thing, like you were saying, too, with like the... how these movies that have been sequels to what came before instead of disavowing them, essentially. I think it's the same thing like you touched on earlier with in the Star Wars trailer when Han says, you know, the stories are real. It's essentially, this is the same thing. Like, when you watch Creed, Sylvester Stallone's there. It's basically him saying, you know, like, I give this the green light, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm here, I'm on board with this, and...
which is different than having everybody, except Harold Ramis, from the original Ghostbusters cameoing it.
Yes.
It's like, oh, look, they approved this. It's like, no, they're cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry, like... I mean, I'll give Ghostbusters a chance. I'll watch it on video, but
yeah,
that was a reboot line that should not have been crossed. And the fact that they try to make it about sexism is bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
It's hiding behind political correctness to promote your lack of creativity. I would have been perfectly fine with Dan Aykroyd teaching 4 women to be entrepreneurs to fight ghosts.
Yeah.
Any sort of continuity, I would have been perfectly fine with.
Oh, yeah.
The reboot,
oh, yeah.
Fuck that. I mean, Ghostbusters is like a touchstone of like movie making.
Yeah.
And like, oh, well, they wouldn't remake X movies. Like, no, they remade Ghostbusters, they'll remake anything.
Yeah, they can remake anything,
yeah.
Basically. It's like, and yeah, I mean, they could have even done something lazy, like been like, all these women are the daughters of the Ghostbusters or something. You know?
Well, that would have been dumb.
It would have been lame, but at least it would have been continuity.
Well, that wouldn't have given them any agency. They're like, oh, they have to be Ghostbusters because their male fathers were?
I know, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, they could have done something lame like that, and it would have been better than this. Like, the point is that them being female is not the problem, like you said. You
right.
Know, that's what pissed me off, too. It's like, basically, if you had... a bad word to say about the Ghostbusters remake, you are a sexist. And it's like, no, it's just
you're a
reboot-cist. Shitty idea how they're doing it.
Well,
I think Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig are funny as fuck. They're like two of the funniest actors of any sex.
Here's the thing. If they actually make it and they tell, if it's about Ghostbusting but it's a different story, that will be cool.
Yeah.
I don't expect that to happen because every time they say a reboot's going to be a new story, it's always the same damn story. I mean, if, you know,
so
they've got it. I'm sure it'll just be a remake of the original.
What are they going to replace the EPA with, do you think?
Oh, yeah, the EPA won't be the villain this time, that's for damn sure. I think Peter Dinklage is some sort of CEO villain in it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, all they have to do is make a new plot. I mean, that would impress me. I don't expect it to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be good. I just... But why not have it? Well, I think the problem is, like, Ghostbusters 2 is a terrible movie. It's not good at all.
Yeah, it's not good.
And they kind of ruined their chance for continuity, if that makes any sense. Because, so apparently in this new movie, Kristen Wiig's character, I think she, like, loses her job as a professor because they find out that she wrote a book about ghosts when she was, like, in college.
Okay.
Which kind of is interesting because it's, like, you know... academia doesn't believe her. Oh, and it's like, oh, you can't believe in this because you're a scientist. And that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so maybe it'll be different.
Well, and Paul Feig's directing it, right?
Yes.
Which that gives me hope because, like, Bridesmaids and Spy were both like really awesome, really funny movies.
And you know what'll happen? They'll start out with like shitty proton packs, but then at the end they'll look like giant iPads strapped to their pack. You know, they'll be like this big gray rectangle with one light.
Yeah.
That'll happen. Or like at the end where they're like, we're the Ghostbusters. Yeah. And then they'll be all like pimped out, you know?
But the thing that'll be dumb about it is I'm sure they're probably going to have the regular goddamn Ecto-1 in it.
No, it's a 1980s piece of shit hearse now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
so they advanced the age of the car appropriately.
Because that was one of the things where I'm like, they're probably just going to do that. So that's good that they changed that at least.
It's still a piece of crap, but it's
which is fine.
Newer piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, apparently they're in a firehouse again, which I would say just don't have a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
And have the plot be different. That's all I want. Can I get it? I don't know.
Is that next summer that comes
out? Yeah. Okay. Well, the main problem with that movie is if it does any better than Outright Flop, then the new creative way to make a reboot will be like, oh, it's all female cast. That's creativity now.
Well, yeah, and they already were talking about doing an Ocean's 11 remake.
Yep,
with Sandra
and Roadhouse is already happening.
Yeah, and it's like...
Okay, Roadhouse, I'd be perfectly fine with it if it was in continuity and if it wasn't Ronda Rousey. Like if they hired, an actress, to be in it.
Like you were saying one time, like Charlize Theron.
Yes, if it was like Charlize Theron is the daughter of Dalton. All right, sold.
See, now it's okay that it's the daughter.
Yeah. They say she's Dalton's daughter. If you fuck with her, she'll seal your fate. Although Charlize Theron is... too old to be his daughter. Of course, I did the math. Ronda Rousey was born in 1987.
Built in 1987.
It was built in 1987, which is 2 years before Roadhouse was released, which means she could be Dalton's daughter. Or she could be the daughter of Dalton and, what was the woman's name?
Oh, the...
the doctor lady.
Yeah, yeah, blonde.
Yeah.
Kelly Lynch.
Yes, that's it.
So, yeah.
Again, just make it in continuity.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to be a PG-13. It's going to be Coyote Ugly with more punching.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Also, you shouldn't remake Roadhouse anyway. I mean, seriously. I mean, the only other movie I can think of that's more stuck in the 80s forever is Weird Science.
Yeah, Weird Science is, like, the most 80s movie ever made.
I'm sure it'll get remade, even though it's... completely irrelevant,
yeah.
Like ostracized geeks. It's like completely irrelevant now, yeah. Which means they'll probably make it because they don't know.
Oh, of course.
Ah, movies suck.
But that's the thing. Like to me, like if that does become the new trend, which it probably will, it's like if I was a woman, I'd be like, is this really progress? It's like, oh, we get to have new movies based off of movies that used to be guy movies. It's like, how is that really progress?
I mean...
it's kind of like a backhanded move, almost. I don't know.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's like, it's more... I hate to say this, but it's more about like, ha-ha, we took this away from men.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like, but you're not really giving it to women. It's like, let them make their own... There's plenty of movies you can make with women. Make new movies.
New. Yeah, exactly.
I really think, in like the next 5 years... the movies are going to tip over. I mean, right now, you've heard me complain about this a million times. They're basically making more movies than people can even see.
Yeah.
It's like the video game crash of 84. And the prices, oh my God, like I would say in the last 2 or 3 years, the prices of going to the theater, it's like...
it's nuts.
Pew!
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like matinees now in Madison, like a 4:15 show is considered an evening show now. So they can jack up the price. It's crept. It used to be anything before 7. Now it's crept down to 4. It's like squeezing a stone for more blood. And I mean, and if you just look at the box office trends, at least in America, like, you know, with a few exceptions like Jurassic World, which I still don't understand why it made so much.
But yeah, it's like attendance is down.
Yeah. That's why the theaters are putting in these fancy seats, because there's fewer people going to the movies, so you might as well give those fewer people a better experience. Yep. The inverse is true with airlines. Like, airlines are always trying to cram more and more people on the plane, so the seats get crappier. Yes. Like, if attendance was... if every theater was completely full, every show, every day, they wouldn't be putting in bigger seats. Mm-hmm. They'd be putting in smaller seats.
Yep.
I mean, right there is the evidence that you need as to what's happening.
Yeah, because it's like the only time you go to the theater and it's packed is like opening weekend for a big movie, and it's like the night shows.
Or,
like,
around here, $5 Tuesday.
Yeah.
What a shock. If you lower the price, more people show up.
And then you can make more money on concessions, because then people are like, oh, I'm getting a deal on my movie. Yeah, I'll actually buy your ridiculously overpriced popcorn now.
It's just, Hollywood is increasing the supply and increasing the price. Economic fail 101.
Because what was that? Was that the last X-Men movie where we went and saw that on a Tuesday? Because I remember we saw...
What, the Days of Future Past?
Yeah. Because I remember we went to some movie, and it was like a...
It was before Easttown closed, right?
Yeah, because you were just like, let's go like Tuesday night. And I'm like, all right, fine. And then we go over there, and we're both like, holy shit. Because, the parking lot was just packed.
I know a lot of people like a backflip. They only go to the movies on Tuesday because $5 Tuesday, and... It's like, wake up, the price is too high. It's like, the other thing is, well, you work with, a lot of people who, have families and stuff. Most people consider a movie to be out when it's on video.
Mm-hmm.
The theater is just an advertisement for that. It's like, if I can watch a movie for, what is an HD rental on Amazon, $6?
It's like, and you don't have to deal with the headache of going to the theater and all that crap anyways, so... But yeah, it's like, me, typically, if I go to the theater, I'll go like early on a Saturday, because it's like if you go before either 11 or noon, then it's like $5.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go like early on a Saturday and watch movies. That's like my most common time to go and see something anymore, because it's just asinine otherwise what they charge.
And just because you can afford it doesn't mean it's not too expensive.
Yes, yeah.
Because, as soon as you have... if you have your date, or if you have a wife and two kids, or 10 kids, or whatever it would be, and you're talking like, $50 before you even get any snacks.
Well,
insane.
That was like when Chuck was down here for when we went to see Creed, and he said something about that, and he's like, basically, even where he's from, which is like smaller town area, he said like for him to take the wife and two kids out, get dinner, and go to a movie, they're basically out $100.
Oh, but it's still the cheapest form of entertainment. That's what people still say.
Which is probably true to an extent.
Compared to what?
Well, compared to like going to a concert, or going to like a basketball game, or a baseball game, or a football game.
Do people do that often?
Some people do, I guess. I guess I'm just thinking about forms of entertainment where like you go out and observe something, I guess. So if you look at it,
do people even
context,
do that anymore? It seems like everyone just stays at home.
Yeah, I don't know. NFL games are packed every weekend, but I don't know. It's
but that's not. I mean, that's not the same. Movies were like a mass market outing for people, and it was cheap. I just think it's kind of getting away from it. I do like though, like the new theater here in Madison where the food. I mean, I like that because, like, look, this beer or this food, this is what you'd pay at, like, Red Robin. So I think that's popular because you can still make they can make a really good margin on it, but it doesn't seem like price gouging because it's similar to what people are paying other places for that.
Yeah, I was fairly impressed by that because it's like, your typical movie theater stuff, like your sodas and your popcorn are still obscenely priced. But, if you want to get, like, a pizza or you want to get a burger or whatever, like Ben said, it's pretty equivalent to your, I guess, higher end fast food type places, essentially.
Well, it doesn't seem outrageous. It's not as outrageous as like a $4 small soda.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, well, I told you this before. Like, you can. I think we had a big argument on the show about this years ago, but you can make more money off expensive beer than you can off cheap soda, because people will buy multiple $5 beers and be like, okay, that's about what I'd pay for a pint of beer anywhere.
Yes, yeah.
But people are only going to buy one $4 soda.
Yeah, yeah.
So the soda itself might be more profitable, but you can sell more beer.
But your scope of who can consume soda is greater. Kids can drink soda in a movie theater. That's
I would say, point. Kids, people under 18 are the minority of the population of Earth. However, kids go to a lot more movies than adults, so...
Yes,
yeah.
Which is evidenced by
you just go to, like,
in the theaters.
you go to the Sun Prairie Theater, and you see tons of, like, teenage kids going to, like, Pitch Perfect 10 and stuff, and...
Yeah.
They're driving sales. Like, you wonder why everything's PG-13, that's why.
Well, it's like we've talked about, you know, before, I'm sure, you know, it's just like essentially we've reached the age where movies aren't really made for us, or at least like the mass movies aren't for the most part. You know? I mean, yeah. Something like this new Star Wars, yes, it's made for us, like our generation, and it'll appeal to everybody, but... You know, like the typical stuff that comes out, it's not really targeted at us. It's like, if we happen to go to it, fine, but we're kind of getting to the point where we're the people that are, you know, the September, October movie crowd or whatever, you know, or
oh,
they start
no.
bringing out the more prestigious stuff or whatever, so. Which I've always liked those movies anyways, but yeah, it just seems like there's less and less reasons to go to the theater anyways.
Unless it's Mad Max.
Yes, which I actually saw twice in the theater.
I think I've seen that movie 4 times now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched the movie more than once. That says something.
That for Ben, that does say a lot.
That's why I don't... Well, I don't think a lot of people buy Blu-rays anymore, but it's like Ant-Man. Okay, $6 to watch it once. I never need to see it again. I feel that way about most movies, except Roadhouse, which is a masterpiece.
That's what I did with Terminator Genesis. Like, it was on Xbox or Amazon, and it was only, like, I think it was either $4 or $5 for the HD rental. It wasn't 6, I know that. So I was like, eh, what the hell, and watched it.
It's so. Yeah, Ant-Man was either 5 or 6. I just use, yeah, I have Amazon built into my TV, so. There is sometimes, like, with Terminator, where, like, the first few weeks, it's only available to download digitally.
Yeah.
Why the hell would you do that? It's like, why would I buy a movie for $15 digitally that I'm only going to watch once when I can rent it for $5? Well, they know there is no reason for you to do that.
Yes.
That's why they make it exclusive buy only for a month.
Yep.
But you can see that like with, I don't know if you noticed, Game of Thrones was available as a season stream at like the end of August.
Hmm.
Yeah, usually it's almost a year
almost
before it's available.
Later. Yeah.
Because I don't think HBO Now did as well as they thought it would. Probably because... By making it exclusive, it required a separate app.
Yeah.
Every device on the planet has HBO Go.
Yes.
Right? My smart TV still does not have HBO Now.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know for sure, HBO Go is the streaming service that if you have an HBO subscription, you get a password. You can log into HBO Go and watch your shows.
Yeah.
HBO Now is the standalone subscription service, whereas if you don't have an HBO cable subscription, you get a password and you can log in. Now, it was exclusive to Apple for the first 3 months, and my conspiracy theory is that's why they had to create a new app. Wouldn't it have been a lot easier just to sell people the password?
Yeah, you'd think.
Because,
that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, because I don't even know what the hell you can use HBO Now on yet. I guess I haven't looked to see if it's on, like, PS4 or Xbox or anything like that.
Well, again, it's fragmented. Like, HBO Go is on everything.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Like, the stupidest, cheapest Roku box has it. But now with HBO Now, you have to wait for it to come to your device. It created fragmentation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a feeling it didn't work out as well for them as they want. Oh, did you see Amazon has add-on channels now?
Yeah, like Stars and Showtime.
That's what I want.
There. That makes a lot of sense.
Because I already have this app. I will pay more money to use the same app to do the same thing. Because otherwise, we're getting to a point where you're going to have a different app for every channel.
Yeah.
That's worse.
Did you see that, like, if you go into the Amazon app and look, like, you can click on Stars and Showtime and whatever in there, and if you click on it, it'll show you, like, the movies that are available on it currently, even if you don't have a subscription, and then it'll also show you if any of those movies are on Prime already, so you can be like, oh, well, okay, these are already on Prime, but these would be ones that would be in addition to what I already have, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, if HBO Now was... $10 and I could add it on to Prime and watch it using an app I already have.
Yeah.
That would be good. Well, that's what Amazon's doing. I think that's the way it's going.
Yeah, and Hulu was, I think they were the first ones to do that because they had some hookup with Showtime like earlier this year and it was like the same premise. And
it'll be interesting to see what happens with cable in about 10 years. I think there'll be a great purge.
Yeah.
You know, 500 channels about like cooking and ghosts. It's going to be gone because when it's now, hey, $10, what are the channels you want? Which is what everybody wants.
Yeah. Yeah, what that stuff will become is it's like, you know, like those cooking channels, cooking shows or whatever. It's like the best ones like Netflix or Amazon will like buy up those shows and those will become content on those services instead of like channels dedicated to those topics. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the way things are going.
I think once you have people like my parents who just sit around watching TV all day, once they're in homes and they can't afford cable anymore, they don't care.
Yeah.
Just like newspapers, it'll be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think there'll be a great, I don't want to say crash, but...
Yeah, because the only people I know anymore that still have, like, cable and all that are, like, people that are, like, our parents.
It has
stuff.
Nothing to do with income. It has everything to do with, like, who gives a crap.
Yeah.
It's like, well, oh, good, 200 channels of bullshit. Why do I want this? I'm not going to watch them. I actually like reality shows, even.
Some of them are all right.
I like cooking shows. I like watching Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I love salvage shows where they find things and fix them. Yeah. Stuff like that. I like Pawn Stars. But I can get that off streaming channels. I don't need cable for that.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
So don't invest in cable. Well, I wouldn't say don't invest in cable companies because they'll be around. It's just like even when we have no more oil, it's still going to be Exxon and Mobil and Shell selling you the batteries and selling you the energy.
Yeah,
so the companies aren't going anywhere, but cable shows probably will. Well, somehow we segued movies onto cable and streaming. Well done.
Nice. Well played.
Well, I guess this is probably going to be a double long episode, just like a double wide trailer.
Well, we've got a year and a half of Dead Space to make up for.
Your favorite game. So I have some, I actually had this idea. I wanted to create a Kickstarter to create my own Roadhouse sequel with Charlize Theron. At the $1,000 pledge level, you get to kiss Charlize, no tongue.
At the 1,000 level? I think you better go a little higher than that.
So I came up with some lines of dialogue for my Roadhouse sequel. They say she's Dalton's daughter. If you fuck with her, she'll seal your fate. I heard she ripped a guy's balls off. I've always wanted to hit a woman who isn't my wife. I thought you'd be a man. Which will be in the new movie, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of I thought you'd be bigger, it's I thought you'd be a man. You don't look like you got hit in the face too much because of Charlize.
Well, yeah. She won't be in monster makeup for this one.
Man, wouldn't that be awesome, Charlize in Roadhouse?
It would be cool.
She's like tough and she's like an actress.
Yep.
Not just tough, like this Ronda Rousey Roozy.
Yeah.
Well, she was in Expendables 3, which was Excrementables. Expendables 2 was a lot better. Then the third one was like...
Pfft. I've still only seen the first one.
So I think she has like one line of dialogue in it. I wonder why. I mean, even Stallone, when he talks, at least he has some charisma.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I never used one.
What cloud?
You gotta get the Eye of the Tiger back. Actually, if you think about it, Rocky 3 and Rocky 4 are the same movie. Because Rocky 3, he's all cocky. He gets beat.
Is that the Mr. T one?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Rocky 4, Apollo Creed's all cocky. He gets killed. And then Rocky gets revenge against Russia.
Yeah.
Why don't they just number movies? I mean, just like put numbers. I think that's half the reason PlayStation 4 is so successful. And that's a great segue to Nintendo. Is PlayStation 4, you know exactly what it is.
Which is awesome, because like this morning I went to the chiropractor to get my back cracked, and he's like, oh, what are you up to today? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go record a podcast. So he was like, oh, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, well, Nintendo, and you know, they got this new console coming out and blah, 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 because the Wii U has been a failure or whatever. And he's like, what's the Wii U? Like, is that just the Wii? Like, or... and all that, and I'm like, no, it's actually like a completely separate console. But I was like, right there is your illustration. You know, it's like, he's like, you know, not a big gamer or anything, but he knew what the Xbox One was, and he knew what the PlayStation 4 was, but he had no idea what the hell the Wii U was.
So for our final topic in this extended holiday episode, we're going to talk about Nintendo. Because according to Twitter, you guys love hearing us complain about Nintendo. Well, some of you do, at least. So years and years and years ago, because this podcast, we've been doing this since 2006?
Probably.
Not continuously, but...
For a while, we did good. Like 3-4 years there, we were kicking them out.
Anyway, we were always against the Wii U because it was a big, dumb gimmick.
Original Wii.
Yes, sorry. We were always against the Wii because it's a gimmick. And of course, we were proven right by history. because we're geniuses.
It was like Terminator Genesis. We just let time pass, and it validated us.
Yep. Okay, so the Nintendo made the Wii U. First of all, the name was stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's... If you sell a console to people who are casuals, that means they're casual. They're not on Polygon or website reading about video games. They don't keep track of it.
Yeah.
So they think the Wii U is a peripheral for the Wii. There's other problems with it, but I would say that was the number one problem.
Well, wasn't that even kind of like when they first announced it? Wasn't that like all they showed was just the new controller?
Yes, because at E3 2012, they didn't show the console. They just showed the controller.
So yeah, so it kind of contributed to that. Because it's like, oh, okay, so I just buy this and plug it into my Wii?
Well, making matters worse, I mean, the Wii had more peripheral garbage than any console in history.
Yeah.
So you set yourself up even more for that assertion when you come from that pedigree. Yeah, so the Wii U, I guess, was Nintendo. Well, it was pitched as being like a hardcore console. It's like, oh, it's going to have Battlefield 3, which it didn't. All the stuff it was supposed to have and it didn't have. So from a technical perspective, the Wii U is about on par with the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. It's, you know, basically a full generation behind. Maybe slightly better, but when you run that second screen, you take quite a hit.
Oh, okay.
That's why a lot of games don't really use it, because it sucks up, you know, power and bandwidth. So if the Wii was two GameCubes duct taped together, the Wii U is three Wiis taped together.
Okay.
That sounds dumbed down, but the Wii One was an overclocked GameCube.
Yeah.
That's literally all it was. And then the Wii U is a slightly faster power PC, and there's three of them on the die. So it's a three, very similar to the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
So they kind of pitched it as being, oh, this is going to, it's going to have the hardcore titles. And if Nintendo had a system that could get all the third-party titles and the first-party titles,
yeah,
it would be a magic bullet. But they won't compete on hardware, and I don't think they ever will again.
Yeah, that's their key failing, essentially. So.
And to make matters worse with the Wii U, not only is it obsolete hardware, but it's a different... it's Power PC, whereas Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are now x86.
Yeah.
So, at a certain... I mean, there was a time when, yeah, when they made the... Because up until, like, just this year, they were basically last-gen versions of every game. I mean, it's only this year we've been starting to go fully next-gen.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I haven't really kept up with this stuff as much as I once did. But, I mean, like, even the Wii U, like, I barely know anybody who owns one. Like, I see a couple people on Facebook.
It's kind of like a Windows phone. People who have one really like them.
Okay. So, hits home. But,
yeah, you're welcome.
But, like... Does it have any of the big games out for? Like, I know they made the Super Mario Maker, but, I mean, have they brought out a Zelda? Have they brought out a Mario?
There has not been a Zelda yet.
That's being worked on, I think I read.
It'll probably be... I would imagine Zelda would come out next year, because the NX is supposed to come out next Christmas.
I wonder if they'll pull, like, a Twilight Princess or whatever it was. And
it'll probably be, like, the swan song for the... Wii U.
That'll be the gift to the people who actually bought a Wii U.
But, it's like... I mean, the third party on Wii U is... Somehow Nintendo manages to have worse and worse third party.
It's been
downhill ever since the N64.
I mean, that's the problem. You know, you look at that and it's like, okay, Nintendo's big thing is their first party stuff. It's like, even as somebody who doesn't really give a shit about Mario and Zelda anymore, it's like I can acknowledge that it's like of the three big three, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Nintendo's like first party IP is probably the best of any of the three.
But Nintendo uses their IP to sell hardware,
yeah,
instead of using their hardware to sell games.
But it's like you look at that and it's like, okay, this system's been out, what,
three years?
And it's like they don't have a Zelda game on it yet. It's like, what the fuck?
So they're not even doing their core things right.
Yeah, you know,
it's like you buy this console. It's basically the Nintendo game adapter.
Yeah,
but you don't even. I don't think there's really been like a. Oh wait, no, they had Super Mario, New Super Mario World. It's like, who can keep track of this?
Yeah. Again, just number them. You know, like you said.
Okay, so here's the atom bomb thing I'd love to see happen. Everyone's probably gonna like click off as soon as they hear this. Microsoft should buy Nintendo.
would be glorious.
It would never happen. It would be too expensive, but that would be awesome. I mean, what people want out of Nintendo are their games, like their first-party games. And that's just software. That could be on any console. I mean, hell, there's tablets and smartphones now that probably are as powerful as the Wii U. The hardware doesn't mean anything, but Nintendo gets so obsessed with hardware that they lose sight of everything else. You had the problem with the N64, but actually, yeah, let's go through this. Let's go through all the reasons why Nintendo has screwed over third parties. N64, it was cartridge-based when everyone else was going to CDs. So instead of having 750 megabytes of storage available, you had 32 megabytes. Fail. GameCube, the controller was very non-standard. The controller was nice, but it was non-standard. Plus, when your competitors were going to DVD, 6 gigs per game, you had this weird 3-inch, I think 1.5 gigabyte weird disc.
Yeah, some proprietary thing, yeah.
Otherwise, the GameCube competed. I mean, it was a lot better than PlayStation, slightly better than the Xbox, but it had the weird controller and the weird discs. The Wii the controller was completely different, an entire generation behind, but it didn't matter because all the old people bought it. And then even if you think about it, like with the Wii U, the controller is probably the most standard controller they've made since the Super Nintendo. But again, their hardware is a generation behind. Their online is about a century behind.
Yeah.
And now their architecture is in the minority. It's, you know, PowerPC is basically done. Macs don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
It's gone. So for a while there, when there's like, oh, here's Far Cry or whatever, and we've also made Xbox 360 version, which so means we have a PowerPC version, so it's not a big deal to get a Wii U version, but now that that's gone away, I mean, it's not even really getting the table scraps anymore.
Well, yeah, they don't even make, like, flagship stuff. Like, Madden doesn't even make it onto the Wii U. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's not good.
And that's the thing. Like, if you're sitting there and you're Nintendo, like, they have a lot of pride, I think, in their history. And so they think, oh, we have to make consoles, you know. But it's like, imagine if they just made Mario and Zelda and they made them for PS4 and Xbox One, and they made them for, like, iPhones and all this shit, which they are starting to do some mobile stuff, apparently. Yeah. But it's like, right now there's, like, 30 million PS4s out there, I think, something like that. And I don't know, maybe there's, like, 15, 20 million Xbox Ones. I don't know what the numbers are like. But it's like, from what I read, there's, like, 10 million Wii U's, maybe, something like that. So just sheer numbers right there. It's like you could have your product on a, you know, surface of like 40 to 50 million devices instead of 10 million. I think you don't have to deal with developing and distributing all that hardware.
Now, most companies, if they were able to operate without creating hardware, they wouldn't even dream of making hardware. Nobody wants to make hardware. But Nintendo does. I think they made too much money off the hardware alone with the Wii and the DS and the 3DS.
Yeah.
They're used to using hardware as a profit center for them, whereas most companies use the hardware as a loss leader in order to sell the software, where Nintendo works in the opposite direction.
That's true, yeah.
So they kind of became drunk off that. But the thing is, here's the thing Nintendo needs to realize. They have finally, after 25 years, they've lost the handheld market.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done. So Nintendo, it's done. Tablets have beat you. You cannot compete with that.
And that's what's been propping them up for a while here now, is the 3DS stuff. So
we have a drawing on the screen here of a Nintendo patent. It's a controller, and apparently the innovation in this controller is that the joysticks are going through the LCD. I guess the Nintendo NX, which will not be powerful, no matter what anyone thinks, come back a year from now and realize I was right. It's some sort of home console, but then you can take the games with you with a portable controller or something. So it's a hybrid.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's supposed to work. So here's the thing. The Nintendo NX will run Android. It will be an ARM-based Android/Linux system. As sure as I'm sitting here on planet Earth. What do you think?
I don't really have an opinion.
In Nintendo's mind, they tried to compete with power, in their mind, the Wii U was them competing on the power race.
Yeah.
And they lost. So now they're going to be like, well, that didn't work. Let's not try to compete on power at all. Although, you know, there's nothing wrong with ARM, but it's not going to be the same. Look at it. It's non-standard controls. It's like two thumbsticks, and it's just gimmicky. It'll only work with their games.
Well, it's like, what problem is it solving?
It's solving Nintendo's problem of their hardware not selling. But really, if Nintendo made an x86-based system that was easy for third parties to work on and also had Nintendo's game, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I think... Oh, no. I don't know. I think this could be a fatal... If this thing is what I think it's going to be, I think it's a fatal mistake for Nintendo. Because they might think that, ooh, this is the next gen already. It's like, no. It's like PlayStation 4 is like running away with this generation.
Yeah.
What is this? Like, the Wii U is too early. This is too late. Even if it's more powerful, that won't matter.
It won't matter.
It probably won't be, though.
Because that's the thing. You give it a couple of years after this thing comes out. It's like, that's when, like, PlayStation 5 and whatever the hell the next Xbox are going to be coming out.
And here's the thing.
It's like,
you know, we can say Nintendo games on a powerful console with third party would be the magic bullet, but I don't give a rat's ass about Nintendo's games. I mean,
yeah, I don't either.
I can't imagine I'm alone. I don't care if I can play Mario on my PlayStation 4, but I can play Fallout.
But the thing I would say with that is if those games were on, like, Xbox One or PlayStation 4 right now,
right,
I could potentially be tempted to be like, you know what? That looks interesting. I'll give it a shot. But right now, where it's like, I have to go and buy a whole other goddamn console to do that?
Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen. So, like,
More about their console than they do about their software.
Yeah, and those are all lost sales. I can't imagine I'm alone on that.
Do you remember in the 90s where Hollywood was so against DVD because it was going to be a perfect copy and counterfeiting would run wild? And then they made DVD and it was like a bonanza windfall for them.
Yeah, it saved their ass for a while. And
it could be the same way with Nintendo. They're going to kick and scream until they finally make their games on another platform.
Yeah,
and then they're like, why didn't we do this 10 years ago?
Yeah, because this thing's likely going to fail in some way. You know, and so then, I mean, how many of these can they take? You would think this would have to be pretty much the last, like, failure they can.
Well, that's what when I said that Citizen Kane quote. Oh, look, Nintendo's got $10 billion in the bank. They're not going anywhere. Didn't BlackBerry have that same amount of money like 5 years ago?
Yep.
I know they're still around, but they are not a shadow of what they once were. It's like, guess what? If you lose, I know Nintendo's doing better than it was, but if you lose $300 million a quarter and you have $10 billion, that means, yeah, it'll take 9 years, but eventually you will be gone.
Yep.
Oh, no, wait, that would be 30 years.
Well, no, you said $300 million a quarter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
okay,
like
I guess my math
years.
Wasn't that bad.
Yeah, and then eventually...
Same thing happened to Citizen Kane. It's like, he's like, oh, I can keep losing money forever. Oh, wait, I can't.
Well, and essentially with this, too, it's like the longer it goes, the more they kind of, like, devalue themselves, too.
Right.
You know, for a potential suitor. Or they basically are going to end up putting themselves in a position where they have to be sold. Instead of right now, they could, you know, basically rethink their strategy and continue on as their own entity. But
all right, how about we finish up this podcast with what we would like to see in a Nintendo console that would make us buy it again? Like, what Nintendo should make as their next console, not what they are going to make.
Well, they definitely have to have a competitive online platform.
Yes.
Number one, because they are basically non-existent compared to what Microsoft and Sony have.
Oh, here's the thing. I think I was watching some online angry review show, and they were bitching about Halo, whatever the new one is, not having split screen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
like you can't do four-player local, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I commented on it. I'm like, you know what? Okay, yeah. When you're 23 years old and you're playing the games with your college buddies, it's great. But as the average age of the gamer gets older, I mean, it's like basically your age now. I'm probably a little old for that now. But
I'm only like 2 years younger than you, man.
But your name is Jones, so you should find the Ark of the Covenant. Anyway,
I'll see what I can do about that.
My point is, people don't sit around playing games with their friends.
Yeah.
Young people might, but as the gaming population ages, that becomes less and less likely.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, like, the person who was saying that was, like, 31 years old. And I'm thinking, yeah, from the time I was 31 to the age I am now, it's like, you just watch, like, it'll just drop off a cliff the amount of time that you actually spend hanging out with your friends in large groups. And, like, by the time you get to, like, the average gamer age of, like, 38 or 39, it's an entirely different world. Online is where it's at.
Yes, yeah.
And Nintendo just doesn't care about that. So, yeah, a good online component.
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, like with the 360, like that was the killer app for the 360 was Xbox Live.
Yep.
Like it wiped its ass with what Sony had, and Sony's like caught up pretty well. I'd still say Live's superior overall, but they're definitely in a better place on PlayStation 4 than they were. But
here's a question. Controllers. So we have the Xbox One controller, which is hardly any different. The PlayStation 4 controller, which has that big touchpad, which is never used.
And a light on it for some reason.
Oh, yes, which does a great job of draining the battery for no reason. Yep.
Although they did add that option to, like, dial it down. Like,
why not just turn it off?
That would be
like, ideal. Who the hell has a PlayStation camera that it needs to be picked up by?
Yeah, who knows? It's like in Tomb Raider, when you play it, if you're by your campfire, it'll be, like, yellow, like, to simulate the campfire.
Oh, so... So people looking at you playing can see that it's yellow?
I guess. Or if you're playing in a dark room, then you'll get, like, this yellow mood lighting. It's just like, who the hell thought this was worth doing? But anyway.
It'd be nice to see a controller, maybe, you know, maybe have the extra buttons down here like the Steam controller has.
Yeah, yeah.
Or have it be mappable. Like, controllers are laughably non-mappable now. I mean, I know they're making improvements. And so... if anything, have extra buttons that can be configured, not less buttons. And at least the Wii U has the same amount of buttons. But nobody wants to look at their screen. The Wii U is pointless. It's like, oh, it's a second screen. Everyone has a phone. Everyone has a tablet.
Yeah.
And you are giving them, you are putting an inferior screen into your product for no reason. And... well, shit, like Fallout 4, you can actually, there's a Pip-Boy app. You can run your Pip-Boy on your phone.
Yeah.
So you can push Stim Pack. I mean, I tried it. It's, I don't know, it's gimmicky, but like, it doesn't require a $120 controller to do it because it's using something I already own. Yeah. So I don't know, just make a controller, maybe have a really good battery life. maybe make the rumble good.
Yeah, because the Xbox One controller's battery life is insane.
Insanely good?
Yes. Because, like, my PS4, I actually bought a second controller for it just to have one on the charger while I'm playing.
I basically charge my controller every night so that it won't die during my next day's binge of Fallout.
But yeah, like, the Xbox One controller, it's like I can go, I don't know, many, many days of fairly heavy playing before I have to plug the thing in.
So you have a rechargeable battery pack in it?
Yes.
And it is nice that you can just put in AAs if you have to as a backup. I've got something. Ditch the physical media. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
The next generation of game consoles will not have disc drives.
Yeah, I think Microsoft really wanted to do that with the Xbox One, but it wasn't quite at the point.
Well, look at the blowback they already got.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. I mean, a lot of those features were cool, like install the game, then take the disc out. That would be great. Yeah. It'd make it easier to put a movie in. Now you got to put it in that stupid disc. It's like backwards.
And you could share games with your friends too, right? Wasn't that going to be one of the features?
Yeah, there was a lot of cool features, but the baby got thrown out with the bathwater. It's like, guess what, GameStop? GameStop, you're going to be gone in 5 years. That business will be gone.
Yeah, you'll be the new Blockbuster Video,
basically. I mean, there's no point in trying to preserve used games. It's going to be dead. And it's not because... it's like everything else in life. It's not because, they want control. Oh, they want to sell you. Like, no, digital games are more convenient than physical media.
Yeah, with the Xbox One, actually, when I bought it, I just took the approach with it that I'm just going to buy everything digitally for it. And that's what I've done.
I still buy things on discs. I don't know why. but look at Steam. Steam is wildly popular. Mm-hmm. Look at iPhone apps. They're wildly popular. No one gives a crap. Clearly, people have accepted it. What's the problem?
Because my thing was, like, when I got the Xbox One, you know, I kind of sat there and took stock of, like, the 360 and the PS3 and the games I had. And I'm like, okay, I've got, like, these piles of old games that I haven't played in forever. It's like, I never bothered to take them to the used place. It's like, now they aren't worth dick anyways.
Right. They're not worth the gas it would take to drive there.
Yeah, so I'm just like, why not just buy it digitally, and if I need the space, then I delete it off my hard drive. I don't have a physical thing that I have to deal with.
It's just like wanting, I'd rather spend $6 to rent a movie than $15 to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't care.
And that was like, you know, like I came home and I was, you know, like, I think it was the Friday night after Fallout 4 came out or whatever. And I was like, eh, you know what? Piss on it. I feel like playing that. And I was sitting on my chair and I could just go out and click and it starts downloading. And
oh,
then, like,
but not everyone has enough bandwidth, Jones, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That was the only complaint I could see with what they wanted to do with the Xbox One originally, you know, where
because
it was,
that's so hurt iPad sales. Tablet sales, I mean...
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, but they had the whole always-on thing, and it's like, well, yeah, like, if you got people that are out in rural, like, country areas and shit, then you're kind of cutting them off, but it's like...
Do market at least DSL now.
Well, and do market analysis and find out how big of a part of your market that really is.
Oh, here's something, this is kind of political, but I hate when people complain about America's broadband infrastructure, like, oh, it's not as good as South Korea. South Korea is the size of, like, one state.
Yeah, a small state.
Every time someone complains about, like, X or Y in America, they forget that America is this huge effing country.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, for context, you know, it's like Germany is essentially the size of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So
if you have the third biggest economy in the world and you're the size of one state, yeah, you're going to have some damn good infrastructure.
Yes.
But it gets spread out over here. But the thing is, it hasn't hurt all these tablet and online sales. Think about when you're at home and your internet doesn't work. Your computer's basically worthless.
Yeah, it sucks.
Who cares if it's always online? Because you want to be always online.
Yep.
Other things about Nintendo console? Yeah, no disc drive would be cool. Like a small size, you know?
Yeah.
Not loud. My PlayStation 4 sounds like a jet engine sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like... So make it quiet.
Yep.
Which Nintendo likes to do, so we know they'll do that. No controller ports. Decent memory.
Yep.
Yeah,
like Bluetooth for the...
Oh, maybe like DisplayPort instead of HDMI.
Like, yeah.
Allow different things to be hooked up to it.
All right.
Just make a modern console. All you have to do is, I mean, think about the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox One are, PlayStation 4. When those come out, 2013?
I think so.
So you're talking like 2012 technology in those things. It's, you could make something that's compatible but slightly better. So, you know, your games, the games would be compatible with what the third party is making, but it would look even better. It would be like playing Fallout on my PlayStation 4 versus my computer. It's like, same games, but you're always going to have the best-looking version just because you have a two-year newer processor. It's like, it's not going to be a big difference, but you'll have a slight edge.
I think to me, and I don't know what it would be necessarily, but the key differentiator really is software, because it's like... You know, you look at the Xbox One and the PS4, and it's like, yeah, technically the PS4 is the more powerful system, but it's like, it's really negligible, the difference that I've seen so far between the two. So it's like, the great differentiator is your first-party IP for your software, and then what the actual user experience on your hardware is. So, like, you know, on Microsoft, they're a software company. That's their bread and butter, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, the UI on that is, you know, in my opinion, far superior to what Sony's got on the PS4.
The PS4 was a step backwards in PS3.
Yeah, and so, but, like, to me, like, that's where Nintendo, they could, you know, whatever they do for an interface, you know, do something interesting with that, do something kind of revolutionary, because that's where you're going to be able to differentiate yourself from the other ones. Because that's, you know, where they're falling down right now is their whole online presence is non-existent, basically.
Yeah, maybe. Well, so like my Samsung TV has this. If you just kind of touch the directional pad, it puts a cursor on the screen that you can move like a wand.
Okay.
Maybe the NX controller, you can do that. Like there's a pointy cursor thing. And, you know, I don't have to put a stupid – well, maybe – the TV has that built in, but...
But you don't have to have, a fucking wand controller or something like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just like... maybe, make the user... I mean, Nintendo, you know, has good interaction, like, with the interface and, like, making everything with big buttons and easy to read. Like, turn that into, like, a Nintendo OS or a UI and make it easier for people to use, but not just dumb it down for like grandmas, but make it easier for gamers to use as well. Like on the Xbox 360, like when you're watching videos on it, like you had to dive through 10 levels of menus to get to the new episode of something. That sucked. Yep. It's a lot better now. It's like just look at how things are and then make them better. It's like here's what sucks about Xbox One interface. Here's what sucks about PlayStation 4 interface. Let's make a better version of that that benefits the players. Have the same hardware, or you basically just get a slightly better AMD APU. You could have the same number of cores. Then you'll get the third parties, but you'll also get, you can also make your first parties.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, that's another thing that, you know, well, Sony's gotten a lot better at it, but Xbox does really well as they're, obviously they are great at creating toolkits and working with the third parties.
Yeah.
And after PlayStation 3, at least, Sony got a lot better. Nintendo just got arrogant, just like Sony did with the PlayStation 3, just like Microsoft did with the Xbox One. It's almost like history repeats itself. Yeah. Huh?
Funny how that works, but.
Yeah, I mean, again, and going back to nostalgia, I mean, I'd love to have a sleek, slightly off-white Nintendo box. I'd buy it if they made games that I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have money. Make a console with games that I want. Otherwise, no.
Yeah, it's like it's not hard, really. You know, at the end of the day, it's like just give the consumers what they want.
And, you know, if you think about it, like this touchscreen crap, people already have that. It's called... Their iPads and their tablets. Like, that market is lost.
Yep.
Like, people don't want that gimmicky. People who play console games, they do it for a reason. They want real buttons. They don't want to touch things. They want control, and they want real games. They want the kind of experience you can't have on a tablet. Don't give us a tablet experience on a TV.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Nintendo, just do all that, and you'll be fine.
And you might have two new customers next generation.
Yes, which is probably more than you'll have with this NX idea. But, yes. Year from now, Christmas special 2016. Like, told you. ARM-based. Android buried deep.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it's like their timing. It kind of feels like Dreamcast-y. Because it's going to come out like at this odd time and be like better than what's in front or before it, but then like the, you know, like in the Dreamcast case, the PlayStation 2 came along and just like destroyed it.
This generation will get the hell stretched out of it as well. I mean, PlayStation 4 is selling faster than any console ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it'd be an 8-year cycle, but it'll be more than 5. So the next gen consoles wouldn't be due until at least 2018, which means Nintendo NX is at least 2 years ahead. So really, it's the most centrally a console will have ever been released.
Yeah.
Which could be a huge mistake.
Because, that's the thing. You look at it, and it's like, I mean, essentially, they'd have to be going for the market where they haven't bought, like, an Xbox One or a PS4 yet. Like, essentially, that's, you know, really what they're clamoring
for. But again, a lot of people buying PlayStation 4 didn't have a previous-gen console, strangely enough. So, again, it's a battle they may have already lost.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, you know, like for the people that already have a PS4 and an Xbox One, it's like, what's going to be the compelling case with this thing to get those people to buy this as well?
Yeah, I mean, you can't sell them with slightly better graphics.
Yeah, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get all the Nintendo diehards, but they're a very vocal minority. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not going to keep you afloat forever.
Yeah. See the Wii U.
Well, I mean, Nintendo's been through ups and downs before.
Oh yeah.
But really, I mean, this will be their biggest down. I mean, like, even the GameCube did a lot better than the Wii U has done or will do.
Yeah, because the GameCube sold over 20 million, right? Like, a little over 20 million.
Yeah, and the N64. I think it was like 20 million for the GameCube, maybe 26 for the N64.
Okay. So, yeah, this is like less than half of either of those so far.
Yeah, do you think the tablet controller, 2012, that was about 2 years after the iPad, do you think that was in response to it, or was it already in development? I mean, I don't know what kind of timeline they would have for that.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt like a response. I don't know if it was, but it sure seems that way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you had, like, iPhones were already out at that point, too, you know, and so...
They're like, oh, look, here is what our audience has latched onto. Okay, well, we'll give you that, too. And it's too late.
Yeah,
they're already
reactionary.
Gone. And we said that almost 10 years ago. Was that the people who are buying the Wii are not loyal to any product.
Yep.
And as soon as they're tired of it, they will abandon you.
Yes, and it's exactly what happened, yeah. Because, yeah, those people, they were probably like, well, I bought this thing for, like, $250. I played it for, like, a couple of months, and there was, like, one game I ever used on it. And it's like, well, why the hell would I buy this thing again when the Wii U came out? You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to spend... I don't even know what the Wii U costs.
Like, I think it was, like, $300 and $350 for the two models.
Okay. What was the difference between the two models? Just
one had a hard drive and one had 8 gigs of flash.
Okay.
All right. Well, that has been our 2015 holiday special of the BenHeck.com podcast. Let us know if you would like us to do more podcasts, because there's really no reason we couldn't.
Yes. We have the technology.
Yes, we have audacity. We have the audacity to do this.
This might be the longest episode ever of the Ben Heck podcast.
Well, that's all right, because it's been a while since we've done one.
Yes.
So let us know what you think on the comments below and hit us up on Twitter